May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. This is the one great scripture of the Epiphany, is when the Magi came and they were, quote, the first Gentiles that encountered Christ, that kind of thing. But I've always been fascinated with this scripture, and so if you're a CTKer, you might hear this sermon again Sunday. But if you're like me, I'm old enough now where I won't remember most of it between now and Sunday, and that's a long time, and it'll be a... This is just an appetizer word, but the key things to me about the scripture in chapter 2, verse 1, it says, in 1 and 2, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him.'" Now they were saying that, the language is, they were going everywhere saying that to people. And when Herod heard about it, he was troubled, as well as all Jerusalem with him. And then he invited chief priests and theologians, scribes, and came and says, "Well, where is the Christ supposed to be born?" I mean, he evidently believed it was possible. He was very threatened by it, and they said in Bethlehem. And so he secretly called the Magi, said, "You go find him, and when you find him, you come back and tell me, and I can go worship him too." And then afterwards, they go worship him, and an angel comes to them in a dream in the night. God speaks to them, "Don't go back there." They didn't, so that's sort of the story. But the deal is that it says that they came there to worship him. And I've always thought about them. I've thought about these guys, and it doesn't say there were three, but oral tradition says there were three. There's a lot of places in Scripture that affirm, if it's widespread enough oral tradition, it's true. I believe there were three, and you can Google it. There's even historically who their names were. But these were three wealthy men, but their passion was to come to worship him. And they traveled a long distance because when Herod asked the Magi, "Well, when did you first see that star?" to make sure he covered everybody, he had every child, male child, 2 years old and younger. So it could have been as much as a year out when they finally showed up. They traveled by foot from a pretty good distance to get there. But their passion was to worship him. And I've always thought about this scripture just about them being worshipers above everything else. That was their desire. They didn't want to come study him. It wasn't a theological trip. It was about worshipers. And worshipers, when I think about worshipers, what a worshiper is, and I've thought about this a lot over the last few days. I even looked up synonyms to come up with some ideas. But in the end, a worshipper is just a lovesick lover. And they're not just a lover of Jesus, they're a lovesick lover of Jesus. And they're sort of lovers on display. There's nothing hidden about a true worshiper. And there's just a few things in Scripture, and so I'll just give you this, and again, we may do it again Sunday, so I'll just give you this little deal about what true worshipers are. And when we say worshipers, of course, we're not just talking about people who come to church and do this. Romans chapter 12 says, "I urge you therefore, brethren, in light of God's mercy or goodness, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, which is your reasonable service of worship." So worship is a lifestyle. If you're a worshiper, if you're a lovesick lover, that's a lifestyle. And sometimes it manifests when you do this, and usually they're the ones that are the craziest doing this because they're just lovesick lovers. There's something about lovesick lovers, true worshipers, and that's this, is they just see things nobody else sees. It's an interesting thing about that star, and those of you who have been around long enough, we've talked about this. It wasn't this big, bright, huge star like we depict it in all of our Christmas plays, because nobody else saw it. Nobody else recognized it. And everybody in Jerusalem or anywhere would have seen this unusual display in the sky that nobody else had seen. It's an obscure scripture from Nahum or Numbers that talks about the star. It's only one little verse. And yet they noticed it, because it's true about lovesick lovers. They just see things that nobody else sees. When you're in love with somebody and it's a lovesick love, not just a casual love, everything you see reminds you of the person that you love. It's just the way it is. You just see things people don't, other people don't see. And lovesick lovers, worshipers, just find, they just see Jesus in so many things. The other thing about them is they say things nobody else says. I mean, it says the whole Jerusalem was troubled. So I don't think they were getting like great responses from people as they were walking around going, you know, we've been following the star, Messiah, we want to go worship him. The whole city was troubled, and yet they couldn't stop talking about it. One thing about worshipers, they can't stop talking about Jesus. And they don't really care who it offends or doesn't offend. They just can't keep their mouth shut about Jesus. I mean, you don't have to wind them up to get them to do stuff. You have to, like, cover them up to get them to shut up. They just say things nobody else will say. And they don't care where it is they're going to say. The other thing about worshipers is that worshipers find things that nobody else can find. Interesting, when Herod brought all those theologians, he said, Bethlehem. They knew the spot. They knew what these guys were saying. It troubled them enough to where they took it seriously. But Herod called the Magi in and said, you go find them. Because there's something about lovers. They'll seek out the one they love. They want to spend time with that person, and they'll pay whatever price and make whatever sacrifices to do that. And he was confident, because of their passion they exhibited already by traveling so far, they could find him. And true worshipers do. Worshipers just see things other people don't see. They say things other people won't say. They find things other people can't find. And then the other thing about them, they just give stuff nobody else will give. I mean, when they find him, their worship was expressed. They bowed down before him. They worship. The word worship there is a Greek, two Greek words, to kiss towards. It was about affection. I don't know if they sang songs or not, but they were bowed down before him and were worshiping him, pouring out affection on him, and then gave away all these extravagant stuff, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. That's what lovesick lovers do. They just give stuff away that other people won't give. Time that other people say they can't afford to give. Money that other people say they can't afford, relationships, friends, whatever. They give up, they sacrifice, give away things other people just say they can't do. Because you're driven by love. Paul said, the love of Christ controls me. And we've looked at that before. It literally means taken. We had some t-shirts made that says taken. Paul said, I've been taken away by the love of Christ. Song of Solomon, take me away with you. Jesus, let us run. And then the last thing is that about worshipers, lovesick lovers, is that they hear things other people don't hear. I mean, these were Gentiles who evidently had converted to Judaism, but they weren't hanging out in the theological centers of Judaism. That was been Jerusalem. They came from a Gentile nation. They were Gentile gods, and yet, as soon as they leave worshiping Jesus, they get that God speaks to them, an angel comes to them in a dream. Well, it kind of doesn't shock me that with Joseph. I mean, that's Joseph. Or Mary. I mean, these were Jews who, but these guys. Because lovesick lovers hear things other people just don't hear. God's able to speak to them in extravagant ways. Because one, when you're in love, you're open to the possibilities of ridiculous things. You're not living by calculation. You're living by passion. And so they saw things other people didn't see. They said things other people wouldn't say. They found things other people wouldn't find. They gave away things nobody else would give away. And they heard things most people don't get to hear. That's what the life of a worshiper is. And they're easy to spot. These guys were pretty easy to spot. I'm sure their dress was different, but how can you not spot them? They couldn't keep their mouth closed, and it's just the way it is. Nothing more distracting than somebody who's lovesick, because they are zeroed in on one thing, and whether you want to hear about it or not, that's what you're going to hear about. That's what this story reminds me of. That's what epiphany, that God would give us such an epiphany of his love for us, and we would become like these people. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.